Good morning, church family. It's so nice to see your faces here in the sanctuary, and we are here to worship our God together. What an awesome time together every Sunday. And, you know, I can see some people who just, you know, returned to the church, and also there are a lot of our, you know, church members who are, you know, struggling with the, you know, cold weather, but this is the right place we have to be in this winter time. Amen? Amen. Amen. So next Sunday, we are going to have a town hall meeting right after this service. This time, we are going to have this meeting at the chapel. So we will see, because there are some people who have some, you know, mobility issues. So for them, this time, we're going to try at the chapel, our meeting, okay? And also, Pastor Bethany will share with us about our Ash Wednesday service and also our scholarship, you know, application. Pastor Bethany.
Good morning, Midland First. It is wonderful to be with you today. I would like to tell you about our Ash Wednesday service. We will be having an Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, February 14th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We will be having the imposition of ashes as well as communion. It will be a great time to celebrate what Christ has done, but also to reflect on the season that is before us in the season of Lent. So I would encourage you to come to that. And then scholarship applications will be available beginning this coming Friday, February 9th. We will have physical hard copy applications that you can pick up in the church office if you know of anyone who would like to apply. And then we will also have them available on the website under the Forms tab. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me, and I will do my best to answer them. But those will be available February 9th until April 18th.
And also we have a special announcement from the Youth Ministry.
Hello, Midland First. My name is Teddy. I'm here to tell you guys about the pancake supper with pancakes, bacon, sausage, and applesauce. It will be held on Tuesday, February 13th between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Please invite friends and family. Come food, games, photos, and lots of fun. We have heard there are adults in the congregation who want to help out. Please let Pastor Bethany or Hillary know as soon as possible, please. Also, could we have a quick show of hands, those who are planning on attending? Sign-ups are around the church, so.
Okay, Hillary, you have more? Two, okay.
Not at this time.
Okay. Teddy, you did a great job this morning. Let's give him a right if we can. Thank you so much, Teddy, okay. Let us watch our, you know, promotion video for our church-wide Bible study in the last season.
Hello, Midland First. I'm here to invite you to attend the Lenten Bible series, The Purpose-Driven Life. We will be using his revised version of The Purpose-Driven Life, which is, in my opinion, even better. The evening will start with dinner, which should be a time of rich fellowship and reconnecting with those in our congregation. This will be followed by worship, which will include a video by Rick Warren, which will set us up for fruitful conversations in our small groups. I believe this dynamic has the potential to revitalize us not only as individuals, but as small groups and as an entire congregation. I also think it has the potential to be an incredible gift to yourself, to your family, both at home and your church family. I sure do hope I'll see you there.
So please invite your family members and also your friends. They can just join our fellowship time starting at 5 o'clock. And then it will be a great time of renewal as we are doing this Bible study together this Lenten season. Okay, would you please, you know, stand and let us have time to greet one another? Okay.
Would you please remain standing and join me in the call to worship? As the people of God, we are called to do as God does in response to God's love for us. May God open the eyes of our hearts to see him more fully and understand his love more deeply, so that we can serve and share Jesus Christ in new ways that draw us and our community to him.
Lord, may this hour be one in which we are further transformed into the image of your Son. Be glorified in us.
Please be seated.
Except the kids. Can the children join us, please? As the children are coming forward, please pray for them and for our Sunday school class. Our Bible verse today is, this is the teaching you have heard from the beginning. We must love each other. Last week, Pastor Landis visited and told about his love and mission for Estonia. Estonia became independent finally in 1991, just 32 years ago. One of our Sunday Friendship Lunch friends is from Estonia. She and Pastor Landis visit as often as possible. More love. Pastor Landis gave his friend, Pastor Yum, some chocolate from Estonia, and Pastor Yum is passing it on to you guys. More love. You'll see the wrapper is in a foreign language, but I was able to read the expiration date. Can you carry that for me? We are going to share the love that's been shared with us with people in our church who aren't able to come to the sanctuary anymore, because we're going to make Valentine's Day today. Valentine's today. But first, we're going to stay and listen to the bells. You guys can go right in there.
Let us pray together. Dear most gracious God, we Midland First humbly worship your mighty name, who is our creator, sustainer, and savior. In your grace, we have been called to be your family together. God, let us hold on to one another, even though we might have to go through challenges. God, you are the one we put our trust and depend on. You are the source of our lives, love, and calling. Also, you are the final destiny of our lives. We pray for our nation. Please heal the divisions of our countries. Let our political leaders honestly and humbly serve the nation with a fearful heart for you. We pray for healing and restoration of the people living in war-torn countries. God, be with them in your grace. Help us to have the same heart you have for them so that we can remember the people in pain and sorrow due to the wars in our prayers. God, remember our church family who are going through difficult times because of their illnesses, broken relationships, and losses of their jobs. Let them not forget that you are the God of Emmanuel, and you can use this time as a way for them to be refined in their faith and grow more. God, we are so thankful for your presence with us. Let us continually follow you and find our places where you are. Now we pray the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering, and we really appreciate your continued participation in God's mission through Midland First. Please continually pray for your church, and also pray, you know, to God to expand our missional territories, you know, continually. And please take out our friendship pad and help us, you know, let us know you are here today with us. And ushers, would you please come forward? Dear God, thank you so much for your grace in our lives. God, we are living in your grace every day. As a token of our gratitude for what you have done in our lives, we give these offerings to you, God. Please, God, use these gifts and also use our lives only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 7. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in prayer again? Dear God, thank you so much for calling us to be in your presence together with our church family. God, we open our hearts towards you. God, speak to us. We will obey your will. We pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Last Sunday, Reverend Landis preached about one of the means of grace, sharing our faith, as he shared his mission trips to Lithuania and Estonia with us. And did you enjoy his sharing last Sunday? Yeah. And also right after service, you know, last Sunday, we had the time to listen to his, you know, more stories about his missions. Today, the means of grace we are going to cover is addressing the needs of the poor. Before we start to today's means of grace, let us be reminded of the meaning of the means of grace. Let me quote John Wesley again about this. By means of grace, I understand outward signs, words, and actions ordained of God and appointed for this end to be the ordinary channels whereby he might convey to men preventing, justifying, and sanctifying grace. God's desire for our lives is our transformation, our growth in our love for God and for our neighbor, and our resemblance to Jesus Christ. That is God's desire for our lives. The things you are going through right now in your life, God is using them to transform you so that you can be more like Jesus Christ. That is a real thing. Everything you are experiencing right now, God is using them for your renewal. To do so, God invites us to taste and enjoy his grace by practicing the means of grace. According to the Book of Discipline, using the means of grace means our life in the Holy Spirit. Our life in the Holy Spirit means our using the means of grace. Life in the Spirit involves diligent use of the means of grace, such as praying, fasting, attending upon the sacraments, and inward searching in solitude. It also encompasses the communal life of the church in worship, mission, evangelism, service, and social witness. If we are live out our lives faithfully in the Holy Spirit, we will find ourselves practicing the means of grace. our lives in the Holy Spirit, and using the means of grace are inseparable. If you feel, oh, Pastor, I don't think I use the means of grace at all, but I feel okay, I feel very peaceful, let me tell you, you are in a very dangerous situation. Our life in spirit always is reflected in our practice, intentional practice of the means of grace. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. How can addressing the needs of the poor be one of the means of grace? Why is addressing the needs of the poor so important? First of all, God identifies himself with the poor. God is with the poor, and God is of the poor. So we are to identify ourselves with the poor too, because we are in union with our Christ. As I shared with you through the E-Bless message last week, God is with the poor. And where God is, we can find his grace. Wherever we can find God's grace, we can experience our transformation, growth, and renewal. God's grace is an ingredient for our growth, for our healing, for our reformation. If you do not realize, oh, am I growing? Then you have to think about this. Am I really understanding God's grace in my lives? Even though there are things that really challenge us, but when we can hold on to God's grace in our lives, that is the beginning point that we can start to grow continually so that we can overcome all those challenges we face in our lives. And also, God is calling us at the same time to be his means of grace to other people around us. Proverbs 19:17, it says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in full. I like this Bible verse very much. And the Psalm 140, verse 12. Let us read this psalm together. I know that the Lord maintains the cause of the needy and executes justice for the poor. Yes, God identifies himself with the poor. We can find Jesus' mission statement in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Here, Jesus Christ is quoting the scripture from Isaiah chapter 61 and also today's scripture too. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It sounds like Jesus' mission is for those who are poor, marginalized, disadvantaged, and the oppressed. Jesus devoted his life on earth to be with those who are suffering and needy. His life is not for himself, but for others. The reference to the year of the Lord's favor is about the year of the Jubilee, when all the enslaved in Israel received their freedom. So what is the mission of God? To bring freedom to those who are marginalized, who are in need, and also who cannot see the reality of the world. freedom. That is why Ronald Sider said in his book, Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger. How many of you read this book before? Just raise your hand. Yes, this is our summer recommending book for you guys, okay? Please read this book. God's word teaches a very hard, disturbing truth. Those who neglect the poor and the oppressed are really not God's people at all. No matter how frequently they practice their religious rituals, nor how orthodox are their creeds and confessions. It's a very radical statement, right? Secondly, addressing the needs of the poor is our true worship. Why was the northern kingdom of Israel destroyed in 722 BC by the Assyrians? The first reason was that they practiced idol worship and a syncretistic lifestyle, which God hated so much. Secondly, their maltreatment and disregard for the poor, as well as the foreigners, widows, and orphans. In the history of Israel, when the Israelites didn't have a proper worship life, their life for the poor was not proper. When they did idol worship, the atmosphere of injustice overwhelmed the whole society of Israel. So that are the words God gave to the northern kingdom through the prophet Hosea at that time. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But as for you, return to your God, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God. Yes, you are bringing your sacrifice to the temple. I know you have your presence in my temple, but you are not worshiping me because you do not care for the people in poverty. Those foreigners, widows, and orphans who are living together with you in your community. But you are trying to bring sacrifice to the temple and you believe you are worshiping me properly. No, not at all. That is not the proper worship. In that context, in Isaiah 58, God rebuked Israel for their improper motives of worship and responsible worship life and taught them about true worship. So the scriptures we read together this morning is about God's teaching about true worship. Isaiah 58, verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Thirdly, addressing the needs of the poor is participating in Jesus' kingdom work. Let us think about Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes are not prescriptions for blessedness and happiness. Sometimes some scholars translate those, you know, Beatitudes like that. But there are different kind of translation of the Beatitudes. It is God's invitation for those who are powerless and outcast in society. Jesus Christ's very first teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So some scholars believe that, okay, this isn't kind of a spiritual recipe how we can enter the kingdom of God, So we have to be very poor in spirit. Have you ever heard that kind of a translation, interpretation of the scripture? Many of us, we heard that kind of a translation. In Luke's version, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." The poor in spirit have nothing going on for them. These are folks who are in a bad state. And Dallas Willard translates poor in spirit as spiritual zeros, meaning the kind of people who humans typically think have no place before God. But Jesus is announcing to them that even they are invited to his kingdom. So Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 can be interpreted as, "Blessed are you who are feeling marginalized or outcast from God, who have nothing going for you spiritually, for you too are invited to the kingdom." In Matthew chapter 6, we can find Jesus Christ, you know, teaching about prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Because the Sermon on the Mount is all about kingdom ethics for Christians, the Lord's Prayer is nicknamed as the Kingdom Prayer. As we are pray this prayer and live out the prayer, then we can experience the power of kingdom, God's kingdom on earth. You remember this phrase, "Give us today our daily bread," right? We just prayed this prayer this morning together. This prayer, I believe, teaches us at least two things. Every day, we have to depend on God fully. And our dependence on God has to be renewed every day. That is the first teaching. The second teaching is this. Because you pray, your daily bread, so you have to remember those who need daily bread. And you share your daily bread with them. That is the second meaning of this prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Last but not least, when we identify ourselves with the poor and address their needs, we can experience our renewal, transformation from God. Let us read Isaiah 58 verse 8 together in Amplified Bible, which is a Catholic Church Bible. Let us read this scripture together. "Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your healing, restoration, new life will quickly spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you, leading you to peace and prosperity. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." Amen. God is with the poor. God vindicates them. When we move to the places where God is, we can find his grace. In his grace, we can experience our healing, restoration, renewal, peace, and even prosperity. For John Wesley, stewardship means giving to the poor, period. Stewardship is not a prolongation of the temple tax. It is the practice of solidarity with the poor. So let me quote John Wesley on this. "Give to the poor with a single eye, with an upright heart, and write so much given to God, be a steward, a faithfully and wise steward of God and of the poor." how can our denomination can be re-strengthened? After experiencing many churches' disaffiliation in our denomination, how can Midland First can be strengthened again and can be renewed, can be transformed again? As we focus our ministries and missions for the people in poverty, God will renew us and strengthen us because we are participating in God's mission of grace together. I'm so grateful that Midland First has tried hard to work with the people who are in need and marginalized. For the past 2 years, our Michigan Conference has promoted the Readers to Leaders program, which is a missional effort focused on raising funds for children's education in Michigan, Liberia, and local communities. The Michigan Conference has set the goal of raising $350,000 by April 1st this year. Our church alone has contributed over $22,000 to that total goal. I don't think you guys are amazed about that, but I was really amazed. I also want to give praise to our helpers with the Sunday Friendship Lunch. Even though we closed our building a few weeks ago due to the inclement weather, our volunteers came to the church to prepare for Sunday Friendship Lunch, and they said, "We have to feed our friends every Sunday." I'm also glad that our community assistance program has increased its budget more this year to meet the needs of our community. Our blessing box has been well used by our community. Even this morning, there was a church member who tried to fill the cart of the blessing box at the church. There is more that I can share with you about what God has used for. You can hear more stories next Sunday when you join the town hall meeting. I pray that we walk closely together with our brothers and sisters who are in need while trying to become one of the means of grace to our neighbor near and far. By doing so, we can relish and enjoy God's grace in which we can find our continued transformation and renewal. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I hope and pray that we can do more. We can more faithfully follow God's direction for the people in poverty. I heard that from our former UMW, United Faith in Mission, they were going to invite a guest speaker in April to share with us the information about how we can help out the refugees who are living in Michigan. I'm looking forward to having that kind of time at our church. God is calling us continually to be where He is. Where? God is always with the poor. God is inviting us continually to be with them. Amen? Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for the wonderful privilege that we can participate in your mission together. God, help us to be more mindful about the needs of our neighbors in our community and also in the world. God, by doing so, help us grow more. Help us to be more like Jesus Christ. We know that your desire for our lives is our transformation, God, we pray that your will be done in our lives. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite all of you who love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to this communion table. Those who are assisting me in the communion, would you please come forward? Before we have a communion, I'd like to have a time to think about ourselves. If there are any impurities you think you have in your heart, if there is any broken relationship you have gone through, before we have a communion, before we invite our Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, into us, let us have time to pray about that. God, forgive me. I was supposed to share your love because you are with me and in me. God, please restore that relationship because I know you're the God of reconciliation. And you called us to be that kind of people. So let us quietly have time to think about the things you are going through in your lives. And if you need to ask God's forgiveness, please do so. And then let us have a communion together. Let us have time of prayer together. Let us pray. God, please forgive our sins. God, please restore our relationships. God, please help us to be your light and salt to the people around us. God, please bless this communion element, the bread we are going to take and the cup we are going to drink from together. Bless this communion, and also bless our lives. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. On the night when Jesus Christ gave up himself for his disciples, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As we know, we are forgiven by our God through Jesus Christ. We are to forgive others. That is God's command for his people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The body of Jesus Christ given to you, you may say amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. You may say amen. Amen. Now the table is set for you. Please come and enjoy the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. so much for this mysterious union with your Son, Jesus Christ, in this communion. God, help us remember all the time that we are called by you to serve the people who are in need. God, please strengthen our love and help us continually to be the reflection of your love to our neighbors. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing the last hymn. That is our new sermon series theme song. So More Like You. Why don't you stand and let us sing this song together. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can continually serve the people who are in need and poverty. Now, go in peace. Amen.